Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the 2018 AEN Candidacy Preparation Training for Ordination, Elevation, Consecration. This is August 2nd. We are 2 weeks away. We are so glad that you have persevered, and we pray that it has been an awesome blessing and time of growth and development, stretching us and proving us and pruning us and perfecting us as the Lord is preparing to elevate you into the calling on your life in this season. In this season. Don't think that this is the end all. It is progressive and always evolving. For you, we have should have a prayer team standing by to start our session, either Emerging Pastor Johnny Bond or Emerging Pastor Joseph Bivens will open us up in prayer. Praise the Lord.
Amen. This is Minister Joseph Bivens.
Amen.
And I will start off prayer for us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have made that we can rejoice and be glad. We thank you once again for another opportunity to gather on this conference call, on this conference line. Father, we thank you even for each and every candidate that is on the line. We thank you, Father, for the facilitator of this conference call, Overseer Paulette. We thank you, Lord, that you will speak through this woman of God, that you will lead us into our next series of understandings of where we're going and how we're going to get there. And, Father, we just thank you right now. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise for what you have done over these last several months, these last several weeks. We thank you, Lord, as we prepare for these next few weeks, preparing for the ordination. Lord, we thank you for giving us perseverance to continue. We thank you for giving us strength because you are the strength of our lives. Father, we thank you for continuing to lead us and guide us as we prepare for our next level. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you have in store for us. We thank you for today's conference. We thank you, Lord, for everything that will be shared. We thank you for accountability. We thank you, Lord, that you will be glorified in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Emerging Pastor. We are excited about having come together this past weekend. I pray that all was enjoyed and just a wonderful fellowship. It was so good to see the faces, that we see names and hear voices, and we can look at each other, and we thank God for that fellowship. We thank everybody who put forth so much effort to make sure the day met the needs of everybody that came out. We thank our host, Elder Yvette Trim Jackson, a phenomenal job you and your family did in hosting this awesome fellowship for the AEN. Wonderful, wonderful time of coming together. We thank you, and we desire that this always be our joy in strengthening one another as we come together. We are only saddened by the fact that some of our out-of-town guests were not family, were not able to be there. But coming in a couple of weeks, we will have that joint fellowship at the conference. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we want to get started. We have so much that needs to be taken care of today. Today we will have Elder Sharita give you information of what's left for you to do, and also give you some instructions as it relates to your garment. We have Bishop Isaac is going to bring forth the element of the elder into our session. We want to get our presentation from Minister LaJean and Evangelist Rosemary Isaac, and we want to get all of that done in today's session, as well as try to go over the schedule of the conference. It's kind of in-depth, but we do want to share that with you before our time on the conference line is up. We do hope that we could get to Pastor Marlette, but if not, I think we're going to just have that element of worship will be presented to you at the conference during one of our sessions, because it actually is growing into a greater presentation, and it will be done by two people in tandem with one another, because there's so many issues that we want you to be aware of when you go through the celebration and the worship. And there's a lot of elements that I don't know if everybody are familiar with them and why we use them and how they've been used in Scripture and how they are an integral part of our worship experience. And so that will be offered on conference track coming in a couple of weeks. Praise the Lord. All right. So we will start our presentation. We will start with Evangelist Rosemary Isaac and her partner, Pastor Pat, Apostolic Pastor Pat Murphy. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. This is Evangelist Isaac.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right.
Apostolic Pastor Pat on the line? Because she should be doing your introduction, introducing
yes.
you to the family here. We want to see if Minister LaJean, are you an emerging Elder Buck on the line? Maybe you ladies can start it.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, Pat.
Okay.
Who said I'm here?
Is that
Minister
okay.
LaJean.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay. No problem. Who else? On the line is emerging pastor. Emerging Elder Buck.
I'm here.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you tell me when you say I'm here? I need you to say your name and then say you're here.
Okay, this is Emerging Elder Brittany Buck. Can you? I just need
okay.
to know that you all can hear me. You can. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, we can
okay.
hear you. So, Evangelist Isaac, we will start with Minister LaJean and Elder Buck. We'll introduce her, and then we will try to give Pastor Pat an opportunity to get on the line. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. All right, then. All right, ladies.
Okie dokie. I am Emerging Elder Brittany Buck. My accountability partner is, soon to be Evangelist LaJean Burton, and gosh, she is just a beautiful person. If I could just share a little bit about her, she's been in ministry for 20 years. She works with young adults from ages 19 through 21. She works with DCFS, housing them in preparation for transition to be on their own out in the real world. And she's been doing that work as well for close to 20 years. She definitely is a quiet storm, definitely somebody you can't sleep on, but somebody that I would say I learn a great deal from, a great deal of humility and patience, and I just know that whatever God positions her to do, she's going to blow the roof off of that thing. So no more chatting. I present to you emerging evangelist LaJohn Burden.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. First, I'm going
Hello.
To prayer. Yeah. Father God, I come unto you as humble as I know how, thanking you for your call upon my life, anointing me and appointing me, Lord God. I thank you for the hands that you have placed me in to lead me and guide me through this process. Father God, in Jesus' name, as I decrease, you increase. Go before me, make the crooked place straight, and the rough place is smooth. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen. I am candidate LaJean Burton. My scripture is from Romans 14:2, and it goes, quote, "For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs." My topic presentation is accountable to God, whether saved or unsaved, whether acknowledgement to the Most High, my allegiance to the Godhead, whether I honor my call or not, whether my word edify or murder, I am accountable to God. I am accountable for my time, what I do, and what I say, Romans 14:12-13. So then every one of us shall give an account to him, LaJean, to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. This brings me to thought of my life without salvation. Hurtful words and uncaring attitude I displayed, and my just reason was the cause. Now I walk lower and I think more to not offend and not to become an offense that could hinder others and their walk. I learned to be slow to speak and quick to repent. I've learned the seriousness of accountableness to God and others. I learned that I have to honor my call for the kingdom. In Matthew 4, Jesus walked and called each of his by name. This indicates that Jesus knew his disciples, their heart, their destination, their purpose for the kingdom. Jesus also knew that they were not all Jews, but Jews of the heart. Romans 2:11 states it clearly, for there is no respect of person with God. I, LaJean, learned my call to be a servant to the kingdom of God. I know my God will walk out more disobedience out of my heart through my walk and way to the kingdom. I do stand ready in obedience as humble as I know how to do the will of the Father. Romans 2:13, for not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doer of the law shall be justified. I am my brother's and my sister's keeper. They are my way to the kingdom, that my life is according to God's will, that my walk is with the preparation of the gospel, and never be corrupted to direct one to the way. I ask that God keep me in the way that I must go. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you, thee, and teach you, thee, in the way which thy eye shall go. I, God, will guide thee, you, with my eye, and that I will give my Father all the praise and glory, that I humble myself to the hear the heart of the needy, the weak, to bring their cares to the Father with effectual, fervent prayer. James 15:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. To God be the glory. That's the end of my presentation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So succinctly done. Praise the Lord. Elder Deborah, she's in charge of our accountability partnering session.
Yes, I don't have any. Good evening. I don't have any questions, but that just wanted to remark that that was a great job, great introduction, and that was a very thorough, handling, of that account, being accountable to God. So just thank you for that.
Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? Comments, questions, insights, inspiration? Okay. We will have, you do have to, pause and take your phone off mute when you want to dialogue, and it does take a few seconds for that to translate and transmit. And so we do sometimes pause for longer periods just to give you time to take your phone off mute. But we do appreciate those keeping your phone on mute when you're not communicating because it does cut down on the background noise. All right. So now we have Evangelist Isaac, and we will have Bishop Isaac introduce our candidate, Isaac.
Amen. Hello, everybody. It's been storming on this side of town, so thank you. I've been very heavy, breaking up connection, causing warfare. It's been great over here. So I thank God for every opportunity, just a praise report. The devil is defeated. Breakthroughs just been happening. And so I'm excited, and I'm just hoping that everybody, whatever you're going through, I'm excited for you. Keep going through it. I hope you learn and learn to conquer. So I'm excited about introducing this emerging elder, Evangelist Rosemary Isaac. I'm not only biased because she's my mom, I'm biased because she's a part of the Center for Reconstruction. And so
all right.
She kicked off earlier than expected. And just her I want to use the word fight through this whole process has been marvelously pleasant to watch. I wasn't sure do the what was required of her, and she took her way through it like the trooper she is. And to my surprise, sitting back like she finished her stuff. And so,
amen.
Through hospital visits, stays, surgeries during this process. Surgeries, she had like three surgeries one time and surgical procedures in 1 week. And it's like, oh my God. And so when I expected her to rest, she would just get right back up and start typing her thoughts away and finishing up questionnaires and things like that. I'm excited about her destiny. I'm excited about her journey. And just want to introduce to you guys Emerging Elder Rosemary Isaac.
Amen. Okay.
Okay,
yes,
let me check to see if she. Oh, okay.
Yeah, hello. Good evening. This is Emerging
hello.
Elder Isaac. First of all, thank God for all things that he just kind of put into some of my work or my presentation tonight. And we thank God, you know, I want to say my accountability partner, she was on the ball. So I have a lot, which was Pastor Murphy. I have a lot to thank her for as well. And she truly kept me on track. Now I was going another way. She pulled me right back. So I want to say I appreciate that, you know, because it all goes with what my son, you know, saw the evidence of what I've been going through. But I thank God for Jesus because we know that he's the best healer there is. And I'm just so happy that he has given me extra strength and help to go along this journey. Because at one time I told the bishop, I said, can we just, you know, take me out? What do you mean another time? And he looked at me and told me no. I was like, oh, Jesus, he's so mean, you know. But nevertheless, we're going to be talking about from Philippians 4 and 8. And, okay, let me make sure. Yeah, 4 and 8. You know, and my accountability was going to take the scripture part, but if she's not on the line, then I will read what the scripture is. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatso things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these praise. Think on these things. And if I would put a little capital on it, I would be saying, what are you thinking? Amen. So as we read this this scripture, and we looked through it, I was like, oh, this is kind of good because it relates to some of the things that has happened into my life. So I thank God for letting me see this in his way. Now, it said whatsoever we are, whatever soever we are, the truth. As we go along this journey, the only thing that we as Christians, I wouldn't say only thing, but the most things that we should consider is that we are defending the word of God. And we are to stay in touch with Lord when we are going through anything that goes through. We are praying that we are true believers and servants of God. Now, because we also go this, the next one was honest. You have preserved me, you know, and what that means is that you have preserved me because I would honest you have admitted me forever to your presence. And that's Psalms 41 and 12. And basically what we say here is that we got to be true to God. We got to show honest love. We got to show honest feelings. We got to show anything that may stop us in the making. We got to be true to God. If we're true to God, then we'll get to that. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And God is just asking us and giving us all kind of information that we need to follow daily. And we need to keep our hands in the master's hands because we, as Christians, we're going to win. But if the wicked can't get through it, they will fail. And we don't want people looking at us saying one thing bad about us and then the other thing we're like terrific. You know, we wanted that going, oh, Mo, she's a good person. He's a good person. We want that to keep going, you know, day by day. Now, Peter asked the Lord, are you talking to just us or are you talking to everybody? And the word for that one was just, because just is like I'm sitting right here, you know, and you come in and you bring me a sandwich or something, and I'm like, oh, is that just for me? Or do I have to share, you know? And the only thing with the just is that he didn't tell it only to the disciples. He also spoke to all the people that was on the mountain at that time. And that's why we have to ask God daily to make sure that we are trying to live the best life that we can live. And then we go on to say that we, there are of the good report. Now, we all want to have a good report, and we want to be able to, if we're talking about the life they're living as a Christian, then we have to work that, because people are always watching to try to accuse you of something or trying to bring you down. But if you keep your hands in God's hand, oh, what a joy, because you will always get a good report. And when we get this report, you know, we got to continue to preaching the good news, because they are jealous. Some of our course are preaching the good news because they are jealous of the way God has used us. They want to give poor reputations, fearless preachers, but others have pure motives, and the pure motives is what we're going to keep. Yes, we come against all things, and as we walk this Christian, yes, we have preachers and teachers and elders and missionaries and deacons that are going on, you know, and they're not living. They're not pure in what they're doing. It's all for show and fashion, and we don't want to fall into that category, because we will be so whipped by God. And that's all we need to know. If we have that guilty conscience, you know you're wrong, then you should already say, I'm not going there. Premeditated, oh, I'm going to do this tonight, I'm going to do that tonight. No, you can't go that way, because God will not be pleased in what we're saying. And then all we want to end up being around is that we're just speaking, and testing, and preaching, but no one gets what the pure motive is. So we have to stay on board and stay that God will do us. Now, I'll do the rest after this. Now, but now we, so now what we need to pray for is a true love, love that is unconditionally, love that conquers all. We don't want to play. We don't want to play this as sound like the tingles of the rings on the drums and the other stuff. You know, we don't want to love others in the church for some reason or another. Well, God said we have to do love, because love conquers all. So that with this, we pray that we will be saved out of the clutches of evil men, for not everyone loves the Lord. And that's the truth. I mean, we say we love, but do we have that, as we call it, the agape love? Then that's what we need if we don't have it. And that would have been something in 2 Thessalonians 3:2. But whatever happens to me, always to live as Christians should, so that whether I ever see you again or not, I will keep praying and hearing the good reports that you are standing side by side with one strong purpose to tell the good news. Now, the good news is that we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We want people to not compare us, look at us as the common person as he is, but we want to be able to have that light shining as we're going through or whatever it is that God is preparing us for. You know, we don't want to back down. We want people, as they call us, the hypocrite in church. We don't want that. We want to be able to hear that this person has changed my life by talking to them. That's what we want to do. And if we can do that, oh, just so, what a blessing. And you get to heaven with those diamonds in your throne. That's what we want to do. And then we have to continue to speak of love, because we love the Lord, as we say, that he shows us love. He puts love in our heart. But some of us, we just don't do it. We can't love everybody. You got an excuse for every little thing. Let's keep the excuses out and ask God to could give us more and more, show us more love to us. Now, remember always to live as Christians should, so that whether I ever see you again or not, I will keep on hearing good reports that you are standing side by side with one strong purpose to tell the good news. So we got to stand there to continue to tell the good news. Now, as we tell the good news of God, because if we don't tell it, who going to tell it? So it's got to be us that has to tell it. Now, the other, but whatsoever happens to live. Okay, yeah, so with that one, that's what we need to do. We need to ask God to continue to bless us and take us deeper in, you know, because we do good things that others may not see it. Now, that was good. Now, virtue. Now, then he told this story to some who boast of their virtue and scorned everyone else. Now, you know we have to be, virtues need to be in high standard. But nevertheless, you know, we just want to praise God in all that we do and not go around and say, oh, well, I got this and I got that and you can't do it. That's not what God wants. God wants us to make sure that we try to reach each and every soul that has been lost in the this trip of God to heaven. Now, after all of this, I can relate, you know, to most of what this scripture 4 and 8 was basically telling him. You know, Paul had written a letter to Corinth, and he was telling them that you are always praying for me. Even in my distress, you never stopped praying. And in that, he says, because I want to continue to get the reports. And that's why he wrote that down and told us what we needed to do. You know, so we have to go on and keep on fighting for God, because he is the one that's going to take us through. And then I can relate, as I stated, that to sum this all up, things, it is all to keep your mind on God and all that is real, honoring and admirable and respectful, peace and pure and holy, merciful, kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious thing, work of God. When you are going through, praise God. When you feel like there's no one else, praise God anyway. When in life it looks like the world's on your shoulders, praise God for all things. And this is what Paul told them, that if you keep praising, you're going to be okay. And we thank God for that. We know that God is a healer, because he has healed me several times. I thank God because I died 3 times, but God still has me here.
Jesus.
Nevertheless, let us continue to praise God in all that we do. Amen.
Amen. Huh? Amen. Hello? Amen. All right. Questions, comments, insights, inspirational.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God for that on time work.
Thank God.
Amen. That was our own bishop's mother. Praise God. We can see that that same joy is in the voice, you know. And I that's my what I got from that. Just the positiveness and the joy of her heart. You can hear it in her voice. It's also in, you used to call Bishop Happy Feet, and even in the Apostolic Evangelist, Ruby, No one can talk to her without getting a grin and smile on your face. So what a powerfully wonderful environment to be a part of growing up. That has to be awesome. Awesome. All right. So now we've come to the portion where we will let have Elder Sherita share with us some information that you need to take special care to as it relates to the things that are left to be done, as well as your garments and how that is going to flow when you get to the conference site. Elder Sherita?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everyone. Just want to say thank you to all that have registered and paid for your banquet tickets and guest tickets. If there is anyone who just didn't have the opportunity to catch the deadline date, you can still register. And also, if you need to purchase banquet tickets, you can do that on Eventbrite. As it relates to what you can expect for the conference weekend, on Thursday, August 16th, when you arrive at the conference, you want to come to registration check-in, and that is actually located in the lower level of the hotel. It's in the Sierra Foyer, and so you can actually, when you come, you can enter the conference in the side of the hotel. And so when you come to the registration check-in, you're going to sign in. You're going to receive your registration packet for the weekend. You're going to receive your name badge. You're going to receive the conference schedule. And then for those that are checking in your garments on Thursday, you want to just make sure that you have your name on each and every one of your garments. You're going to fill out a check-in sheet for each garment that you're checking in, and then you're going to initial it. And then as soon as you're done registering, you're going to go to the Sierra Ballroom 4 for the opening service, which is from 8 to 9:50. And then after that, classes for you will begin at 10 a.m. And then your classes will go from 10 a.m. to 11:50, where you will go to your lunch break at 12 o'clock. And then you'll have like a two-hour window for lunch, and you'll reconvene at 2. And then your last class will be at 4 o'clock. And then, again, you'll have dinner break at 6. And then you will come back for the atmospheric release service at 7. And then at from 8 to midnight, there will be the worship without words. And then on Friday, August 17th, registration is again open at 8. And then there's going to be an opening service again from 8 to 9:50. Classes for the candidates will begin from 10 a.m. To 11:50, and then you'll break again at 12 for lunch, and then you'll reconvene for your classes at 2, and then your last class will be at 4 o'clock. Dinner will begin at 6, and then everyone will come back for the atmospheric relief service at 7. And then from 8 to 12 midnight, there will be the surgical revelation, healing it in our inheritance. And then on Saturday, this is for candidates only, there's going to be a morning glory anointing service at 10 o'clock. And this is actually where all of the candidates, you will come dressed in black. And this will be the time where you will receive the putting on of your clergy collar along with consecration of prayer and anointing. And then the processional will begin at 12:45. And then at 1 p.m., the ordination worship service will begin. And then following the worship service, the ordination service, the banquet will begin at 6:30. And then on Sunday, August 19th, there will be a baptism at 8 a.m. And then 9 to 9:50, there will be a fire starter service. And then beginning at 10 o'clock, there will be high praise and worship. So that is what you can expect for the weekend. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Hello. Hi.
Amen.
It's Pastor Ford. I have a couple of questions.
Hello, Pastor Ford.
How are you? Okay.
Yes.
I wanted to know, what time does the ordination service actually start? After we march in. I know that's the beginning and the worship aspect of it. But what time approximately will they start the actual ordination?
Yes. Pastor Ford, what's going to happen after when the procession starts? No one can come in, and they can't even come into the area. And so it will be once you procession in, and that may take about 10 minutes or so. So I would say that they could then be released to come back in about 20 minutes, because it's a very ornate marching that's going to happen, and they'll be locked out of that area. They can't even get in that area at that time. So your guests need to be able to either be in by 12:45, or they probably can't get in until 1:30. And
okay,
I'll say that at 1:30, and that's an approximate time, that by 1:30 they may have some preparation and some laying on of hands may have taken place. Okay? We go in ascending order, so an exact time is 12:45. Beyond that, like I say, they'll be locked out, and I can't tell you how long it'll take everybody to get in there, get in the places that they're in, and before the doors will be open and receive the people outside waiting. Okay?
Okay, so...
And remember...
And then it starts with the, let me see, it starts with the, as far as the laying on of hands or whatever. Okay. It starts
that,
with the teacher.
That order, that order will be established by
the
apostle.
Okay.
That's when we'll know when she calls the first. Then that's when the wheels will start turning. And they'll go forth. You will march in ascending order. And so when you are, one of the things that you may want to remind your witnesses of, they must be in there seated. And they must, if they are females, they must not have on pants. And those that want to be a part of your vesting will have two sessions of training. And those two sessions are 4 o'clock on Thursday and 4 o'clock on Friday, and they will take place in the Siena 4, and it's on the program, on the schedule. You'll see Ecumenical Immersion Specialty Training. That is where those that are going to be a part of your vesting must take that training. They will sign in. Attendance will be taken, and they will be given the preparation for what they are going to see at 4 p.m., Siena 5, and Friday at 4 p.m. in Siena 5. All of the classes for the candidates that are being ordained, licensed, and elevated are going to take place in Siena 1. That's the Siena 1 ballroom. All of your classes are going to take place there. After the opening planetary, you can come in there, and you'll pretty much be in there for the rest of the day, except when you go out for lunch. We do want to share with you the fact that the AEN is going to provide a welcoming lunch to the candidates only, sorry, not accountability partners. Sorry. of on Friday from let me make sure what time it is. It's class of 2018 candidate only luncheon. It's from 12 to 2. All right. And
okay,
that
I have
will
one
be...
more question. Oh.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, now I was waiting. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. We got a lot to talk about. Come on. It's okay.
Okay. The other question, the worship without words on, is that Thursday night?
Yes.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
And so that's is that for the candidates?
Yes. The worship without words is for the candidate, as well as the Friday service, which is just going to be phenomenal. The surgical revelation. They're going to actually do a surgery, okay? Set up hospital surgery on your hand and foot washing. It's going to be quite a, what do they call it, a sermon, a living sermon is going to be presented. And, yes, that is part of your requirements. The worship without words will be first hour will be the atmospheric release. And then that further time will be explained to you what that the rest of that worship will look like for those that have maybe never gone to a worship without words experience. And you'll be given, instructions and assistance and guidance through that service. They're really preparing some very powerful times with the Lord and making it available to everyone. Good questions.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? We will have a time during our track when you first come in, our first opening, welcome. We'll kind of go through your schedule, which looks different than the rest of the conference, and what you can expect. And again, everyone will be in Siena 1. We ask that the accountability partners will come in and share with you, though we understand that some of them are required in the general session as teachers, and they have other tasks that they're being asked to do, and so they may not be there on a continuous basis.
Overseer, I have a question.
Yes.
One of the things that was not mentioned, I know we have to have an examination session, which I believe was talked about on Friday. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. Your examination by the examining council will take place Friday, again, in the Siena. It is closed. It is not open to anyone except for the candidates and council, and it starts at 4 o'clock, and depending on, how long it takes y'all, that's how long we'll be in there. But it will consist of round robin of 5 questions that will be presented to each one of you based on what your accountability partner has turned in for you. And those questions are going to be evaluated, as is all of your participation from the first day to the last day. And there is an evaluation form. There is a standard that has to be met. We will share that with you and give you an idea of the way the evaluation is going to be assessed. You will be assessed with your question by the person that asks you the question, as well as myself. And so you have 2 sets of assessors, if you will, who will do your examination. Okay.
Hello, this is Tanika.
Yes.
What kind of questions are they? Are they like biblical, not biblical trivia, but is it memorization of scripture? Is it theological, like philosophical questions? What are they?
They are a variety, and Bishop, I hope I could get to you today too. And I was going to give you guys some examples of the kinds of questions that have come in the past. Remember, these questions come from your accountability partner. Don't get on the phone and call your accountability partner and ask them what questions did they turn in, okay? That is a breach of confidentiality, and it will give you, what do they say? You get disqualified, and then I will ask you the question, okay? They are not necessarily memorization because that's not what we're looking for. They are precepts of God. They are understanding of the Word of God, and that's one of the things that I'll share with you when I share how the assessment, the way the assessment is done, and there are your biblical, your understanding of the scripture that you may be using, how to use it. I don't have my thing in front of me right now. And so it could be, you know, how will you respond to a random home visit? That was one of the questions that kind of really, you know, upset people. So there are all kinds of questions. There's no specific, you know, we're not going to say what is the third verse of the fifth chapter of the second book in the Old Testament. No. Not that sort of thing. No, you can't use your Bibles and you cannot use your phones. And actually, you really can, but it won't help because I've seen the questions. And so as a result, I think that your confidence level, you've had a good relationship with your accountability partner. Just rest at ease. And you have to remember, they may be questions like, you know, how do you prioritize your day? Or how would you address an unwed mother that comes to you and hasn't told their parents yet? Or I know that's old school. I don't think they care anymore, but whatever. You know, what do you do, you know, in a situation of X, Y, Z? So it could be any of those types of questions. They were... Also questions, you know, what is your favorite apostle or what is your favorite Bible character or what Bible character most is like that you respect in your own calling? You know, which one have you studied? It's just a variety of questions like that you have to look forward to. There may be some still a lot, that's right. I'm trying to say it. My lip won't let me. But there may be those kinds, too. And I'm not going to say there's not a right or a wrong, but there is an appropriate, you know, and one that if you base it on Scripture, then you have to give the Scripture and you have to properly use the Scripture to make your point. You know, now remember, usually your answers are no more than maybe 2 minutes, if that. You know, maybe one sentence, or it could be a short paragraph, and you are doing it verbally. As when it comes to your turn, you are doing it verbally. So it's you've done your preparation. You're ready, everybody. And then you have, you know, individuals in there like the apostle who may give you a hint or something else that keeps the levity of it up. And then there is one question that we all have to answer, the committee, as well as the council, as well as the candidates, and that is the question that Apostle gives. And you've seen the kinds of questions that she gives you weekly, and sometimes I think one of the questions was, you know, if you die tomorrow and you wake up in hell, what did you do wrong? You know, those kind of questions, like, ooh, okay. So, good question. Anybody else? I hope that helps.
I have one more question. I want to know, has anyone ever failed and didn't get a chance to be ordained or licensed?
There is no failing. Anyone ever failed to get ordained and licensed, it's only because they haven't met the requirements. If you've turned in your paperwork, now you will get ordained. Your papers may be held until you do follow-up, kind of thing that may happen, something that is areas exercises or something that you need to do further that you know have to commit to doing, and then they would be released to you. Okay, but fail, no. Have people not answered the question? Absolutely. Have they answered it and got it wrong? Absolutely. But remember, it's a small portion of your total assessment. I think the biggest thing is, you know, your assessment is a 10. A 10 is perfect. And I think for a lot of people, and if we have some accountability partners on the line that have gone through it before and you've gotten your assessment, you know, you tend to be disappointed in yourself. And these assessments are given to whoever is your referring leader and to your pastor. So it is fully documented and outlined, and it's prepared, and it's generally given to them first, and then they go over it with you. But, you know, you're referring a leader. That's generally how it works. Yes. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So can you come and fail so you don't do it? No. And there's ways to get an extra point. So some people don't test well in that kind of open environment, and they may not do well. But their paperwork, being timely, being you know, being consistent, being involved, being active in your process, being a part of all of the presentations that you're to do, and the way you do, all those things are being assessed. All of those things build your evaluation. So there's no one piece that's an end-all for all, okay? So it's just a small piece of it. So your evaluations I think the greater, I want to say, and help me, Bishop, if I'm not using the right words, but the greater benefit from sitting before the council and answering a question is to get us used to, as Evangelist Isaac said, defending your faith, you know, declaring what you believe. You know, not so much your knowledge, but what do you believe and how do you support it? You know, if I come up to you and I ask you this, and your response will depend on whether or not, you know, I embrace Christ, you know, so what would you do? You know, being able to have opportunity to start dialoguing with individuals, because some people, they've never done anything like this before, and they've never thought of themselves as that kind of Christian, if you will, you know, who I'm not a preacher or a teacher, you know, I don't do that. And so this is part of exercising your spirit in an area that you may be called upon, because now you have received, and when you receive the laying on of hands, you receive the release of your anointing, and it's going to be pulled on by those that have been waiting for you. There are people that have been waiting for you, and so when you are, once it's released and you go forth, you know, this is just one of the ways that kind of opened the door for us to look to God to give the answer, to depend on Him as the answer, and not so much our own flesh, you know, not my memory, God forbid, okay, but Holy Spirit will give, and what I then give, you know, to someone who is seeking. So that's the the whole point of the examination. It has a different look for different people and different denominations and different, like what the consecrated ones are going to do. It looks a lot different, And because, you go from glory to glory to glory, you know, and to whom much is given, much is required. And this isn't just to slap a piece of paper with your name on it. It means you put in what God has required of you. These requirements for ordination were given to the apostle by God. And as she established it and prepared it for the people based on what God had instructed her to do for the people. And so this is our desire, is to be in excellence according to the will of God. Okay. Anybody else? Bishop? Okay. Yeah, he's been going off his weather is bad. So if there aren't any more questions, and we'll, I'm sorry, get to the elders first thing with our next meeting. And we know that there's another meeting following this meeting that individuals have to be a part of. So we will ask, emerging Pastor Bond on the line, who's supposed to bring us our closing prayer. Okay. Minister Antonio, are you on the line? Or emerging Pastor Melvin?
This is Minister Antonio. Yes, ma'am, I'm on the line.
Amen. Would you close us out in prayer, please, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we thank you for your blessings, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be a part of this network, to be a part of this ordination process. We thank you, Lord God, for every member, Lord God, where we are individually and how you are maturing us. We thank you, Lord God, for the process, Father. May you bless the heads of those that are in leadership. We thank you, Lord God, for overseer. We thank you, Lord God, for apostle. We thank you for bishop. We thank you, Lord God, for all those that are working alongside of them to make this process come to pass according to your will. Father, we ask your anointing be upon all of us as candidates, Father. We pray, Lord God, glad tidings unto the people, Father, that we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and praise, Father. We expect and we, Lord God, are looking forward to, Lord God, this opportunity and this time, Father. May we continue to have expectation and live like it in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord God, blessings to every which way that the individuals are going on this evening. And we thank you, Lord God, for safe transportation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Miles.
Amen.
And we pray that, amen.
Amen.
We will, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless.